Hello. We want to thank you for joining our Living Messiah family by downloading this podcast. We hope it blesses you and enriches your life. We also want to encourage you, if you can and if your heart is so moved, to support this ministry by going on our website, livingmessiah.com, and donating to help us to put these podcasts in every nation and every place so we can bring these messages to change lives, to help people grow in the Word of God. Once again, thank you so much for being part of our family. Shalom.
I guess we're starting. Let me say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that for your blessing on this study. We thank you so much for your word, your love, and your kindness towards us. We thank you. We pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. So we've been doing over the last couple weeks, based on the scripture in Matthew 7, when Yeshua says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the last 2 weeks we did the truth, the way, and the truth. So this week we're going to talk about life. And the word for life in Hebrew, the word that we're going to focus on, is chai. Not high karate, but high. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Living Messiah is Mashiach high. Because high means living. Anything that's alive, hence raw, could be raw flesh, fresh plants, water, year, or strong. And actually, a case of like raw flesh is in Leviticus 13:16. But if the raw high flesh recovers, talking about people who have leprosy, and the flesh that is raw, that is called high. So high basically means living or alive. It could be a man or animal. Genesis 1:20 talks about living creatures, nefesh hayim, and also Genesis 2:7 says, "Then Yahuwah Elohim breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, hayim, and the man became a living creature, nefesh hayim." So even we, as men and women, we are considered living creatures because we're a creation of Yahuwah. Undomesticated animals. In Genesis 7:14, it's translated every beast according to its kind. The word for beast comes from this root of high. So even a beast is called a living of sorts. So other ways that this expression can be used is it expresses thought. And the scripture I want to use for this in Psalm 19:1-2. I'm going to have to turn to it here real quick. And you're probably familiar with this. It says, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of Elohim, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." So this word "reveals" is actually, the root of it is high. So it basically means to declare or to show, which is pretty interesting, I find. Go ahead.
So based on what you're saying, I love that. That's going to help me because I use this verse a lot. And so what is the life that it is revealing in the heavens? So what life could that possibly be? And I've always been mentioning how these constellations, which are the stars, they are pointing out God's glory. They're talking about the Redeemer, the one who brings the life. They're talking about his kingdom. I mean, we have a virgin up there. We have a queen. We have a king. We have a redeemer. We've got all these amazing things up in the heavens that are telling us all about God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And his kingdom, if we're willing to take it, if we're willing to take his word and his nature and his character in, it brings life because he is life. It brings light. It expels darkness. So thank you for sharing that, because that's another little nugget I have in my thing for that.
Today?
Huh?
You going to talk about that today?
No, but I use this verse when I'm talking about the heavens all the time.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting because it kind of tells us that the celestial beings, the planets, the stars, and all that, they are actually living entities of sorts. You know, like you think of the earth as a living, is actually a living, breathing entity, you know. Yeah. Prophets? What do you mean? Like the prophets of old?
I've often said that when Yeshua was the baby and they came to bring the gifts, since God says, I do nothing unless I speak to my prophets first, man did not tell them that the baby had been born. It was that in the heavens that told them. So that must be a prophet, because it says they declare, the heavens declare and reveals. So it says that their voice is heard all over earth. There's nowhere that their voice is not heard. So they must be a prophet speaking.
Right. Amen. Sure.
In Deuteronomy 32, I was just reading this morning about what Mark was just talking about, and declaring the end from the beginning, but also because his word is also something that gives us understanding. Deuteronomy 32:1-3 says, Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of Yahuwah. Ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim.
Amen. So if anybody wants to make a comment, feel free. I think there's a microphone floating around somewhere. So another type of meaning is giving life. In Genesis 3:20, it says, the man called his wife's name Eve, Hava, because she was the mother of all living. Hi. And her name, Hava, it actually means life giver. In Genesis 16:14, therefore the well was called Be'er Lahai Ro'i, the well of the living one who sees me. So this is talking about the Father above. He is the living one. But probably the main meaning we could say is that how do we attain life? When Yeshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, what exactly is he talking about, having life? Any ideas on that? Or how do we attain life? Well, probably the number one way, if we look in Deuteronomy 4:1, it says, and now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live. So, how do we attain life? Following the statutes, the commandments, the rules that he gives us. He tells us that if you want, and I'm not just talking about eternal life, but even the life that we have on this earth. Go ahead, Mark.
I had a discussion with somebody one time, this was probably 15 years ago, about this very verse. So I'd mentioned them, I said, you know, God's word brings life. And so they were saying, well, it's only through Jesus does the life come? And I was trying to say, well, doesn't he say that he's the Word? Isn't the Word in him the same thing? And so you, what you're reading here is telling us that that Word of God does bring life. It does bring life. It brings light, because it says that the Torah is the lamp unto our feet, right? So it's the light, it's the lamp, it's the life. It's the very thing that God wants us to take in that illuminates our being, and we become the witness and the testimony of who he is through us.
Right. Deuteronomy 30:15, it says, time to get up. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of Yahuwah your Elohim that I command you today by loving Yahuwah your Elohim, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. So he's talking about the life that they're living at the time, the life that they have, because he says you're going to multiply, meaning you're going to have children, you're going to have, you know, descendants after you, you're going to live in the land. I'm going to continue reading the verse here. 30:15. And Yahuwah your Elohim will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of. So they're getting ready to come into the land. So he's telling them, your life in the land, it's going to be a good life. You're not just going to, you know, make it, you know, just barely struggle. He's telling you, you're going to have a good life in this life, right? Not just, you know, we tend to, because I think in our Western Christian minds, sometimes we think, you know, I'm looking forward to the life, you know, and in Christianity, I think people think, well, I'm going to go to heaven and be with Yeshua, but the reality is we don't actually go to heaven, I believe. You know, in the millennial kingdom, it's here on earth to begin with. So in the Hebrew mind, they think of this life, you know, having success, prosperity in this life because we're being blessed by the Father. He's the one who's giving us blessings because we follow the statutes. And it's not following the commandments. It's not because, you know, well, we are commanded to do that, but for us to do that, it's actually a privilege and an honor to do that, really. You know, so this idea that, well, you only follow the commands, you know, you're working your way, you're working your salvation, you're working your way to heaven. That's not really the case. We don't do it because of that. The Hebrew thinks that, well, I've been blessed by Yah, and therefore I want to follow his commands. In order to get the blessing, you have to follow the command. In order to continue being blessed, you continue following the commands. That scripture continues on, but there's always a but involved. If your heart turns away, you will not, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving Yahuwah your Elohim, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that Yahuwah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So he's made this promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to give the land to your descendants. And this is the promise he's talking about. If they continue in following the commands, statutes, the rules, that they are going to have life and Where did he say it? I just read it here. Anyways, we will have life, you know, and it, and I think even Yeshua, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's not just talking about the eternal life. I believe he's talking about the physical life that we live. So, go ahead.
What if there's something, there's a law, kind of like when we drink water, we drink it, take it in, but there are things that are associated with that water that does things for us. Mm-hmm. When we take it in, it hydrates, it brings all this life to us. Same thing with the food, right? So there's things associated with the doing that, what if there's things when we read and take the Word of God into our hearts and we do those things, there could be spiritual results, spiritual things that happen that we don't even understand or comprehend that are attached to this life. And I'm reminded of what Yeshua says in light of what you're speaking about. He says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey, because you have believe and obey here connected, they're the same thing. So he who obeys the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. So what if they understood that that Son is the Word, because he's the one that spoke it. So if you obey the things that the Son has said, because he's the representative of the Father, then you have eternal life, which matches your Deuteronomy passages and other passages. When we think that way, all the passages jive. Right. They make sense to, they harmonize with each other. But if we think it's some other way, then we've got contradictions in Scripture.
Right. So when we think about obeying the commandments, as I was saying before, we don't, it's not something that we do because that's what we have to do. You know, it's not a burden, right? It shouldn't be a burden, because, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, you only do that because, you know, you're trying to work your way to heaven. You know, you believe you're being saved by works. But the truth is, these people, they were already redeemed before the law was given. So when they came across out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, they were redeemed out of Egypt, delivered from slavery, and they crossed through the Red Sea, which is a type of baptism. The law had not been given to them yet at this point. So they are redeemed. So when the law is given, like for us on a personal level, you know, we were all at one point delivered from sin, and, you know, got baptized. And then we learn about, at that point, we should be learning about, you know, what does God expect from us? And really the only way to find out what does he expect is to read his book and see what his statutes, his laws, his commandments are, so that we can understand what he expects. Because in order to understand even what sin is, we can't even know what sin is unless we read about, you know, the things that tell us, you know, thou shalt not murder, commit adultery, you know, all these things. Paul at one point writes that I wouldn't know what it meant to covet if I hadn't read about coveting and what that implies, you know, what it really means. So in order to understand what I'm doing wrong, I have to go back and read what is happening. That's why the law, the Torah, has not passed away. It's still there. It still applies to our lives even today. And if somebody tells you it doesn't, then he's just wrong, right? And you can tell him that too. What's that? That's true, yeah. They might not want to hear that, but... So I'm going to close with one scripture, and then Alex is going to have a few words. So we have 20, 25 minutes? Okay. So last scripture here, Proverbs 3:18. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So he's talking about the word, the Torah. If you hold on to it and grasp it, it will be a tree of life to you. You will be blessed. And there's a, in the Judaic culture, the person who does the reading of the Torah, when you open the Torah scroll, it has two handles that are made of wood. They call those handles Eitz Chaim, tree of life, because he takes hold, he grasps them, and he reads the word. And it's just an interesting physical idea of grasping the tree of life. But in our hearts, we are to take hold of the word, to hold it dear to us. It says to hold fast, right? That means you cling to it. You know, you want to have it a part of your life. You want to read and study every day and just apply it more and more to your life. Go ahead.
So the Torah scroll is, and we have an example in here, so you've got wooden poles that the scrolls are wrapped around, and that's the tree. Like you said, you're grabbing hold of just matching what the scripture says. And it reminds me of the water that's gushing out of the throne, and you got the trees sprouting on each side, and what's coming off the trees is the leaves that are for the healing. And God says in the word, he says, if people would return back to me, I would heal them. So it's returning to the Torah, which we're going to be talking about today, returning to the Torah. In our portion today, he pleads them three times in four verses to return to the Torah, because that's the healing. There's healing in it. You'll be healed not only from the curses and all, but you'll be healed from the problems that you have, because you've now made a 180 from, it's correcting the problem. It's like if I'm driving a car without any oil in it and I'm getting problems, maybe if I put oil back in the car, it'll start running right. And so that's the healing. The Torah is the healing to the nations, yeah.
Amen. Well, I did have one more scripture. I was going to read Isaiah 1:19. Were you going to use that today? Because that's part of our reading. Okay. The whole chapter, he pretty much pleads. Oh, were you going to use that today? Okay. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of Yahuwah has spoken. Go ahead.
I was going to say off of what Mark was saying. So the verb form of this word is haya, which actually is like a restorative thing. It's like to nourish up, to preserve, to quicken, recover, repair, restore, revive. So it's like, you know, we're being brought back into the fullness of what we were created to be in the first place. And you know that verse in 1 Corinthians 13 where it says, we know in part, but then we'll know as we are known. And I was just thinking when I was sitting here, I was thinking, maybe, because, you know, I think sometimes we think we'll know everything by that verse. Like, we'll know everything we need to know. It won't be about not learning at that point. It'll be that we will know how to live in the fullness of what it means to live without all of the broken things that we do You know how we're just trying to heal and mend all the time for all the things we've done in our past. But when we're there in the kingdom, we're going to be able to live in the fullness of what it means to be a healthy, whole human being without all of the baggage that goes with that. So we'll really be able to experience life the way it was meant to be. You know?
Thank you.
I have one other thing.
Okay.
So it really points out in the Targum. So I'm going to read it from the Targum. Okay. So it says, if you return and receive my Mimra, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and will not receive my Mimra, you will be slain by the sword of the enemy, for it has been decreed by the Mimra of Yahuwah.
That's the Targum for this scripture?
Yes. So there's a decree. When you, these decrees, like I said, there's something we don't realize that's happening. By taking it in or not taking it in, something's happening. Decrees are going forth. God's words are being spoken forth to bring healing to you when you're doing it, and words are coming forth. The decree is coming forth to be slain by the sword of the enemy. So there's a lot going on by the obedience to what he says, or disobedience, as it says in this verse.
Okay, now Alex has a few things he would like to share, so are you ready?
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. So I was actually going through Genesis, and I did like what you said about I have put before you life or death, blessing or curse, so choose one of these. So I'll circle that in a bit. Now, Genesis 2:7 is the second time in Scripture where the word life is actually used, where Elohim breathed into him the breath of life. And I thought that was very interesting in so many different levels, because Adam and Eve had one commandment. The Torah wasn't even there in existence in their knowledge yet. They had one thing to do, and that was do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Once they ate from that tree, they had all of Torah to keep, because they now had a choice to serve Elohim or not. Otherwise, they had no idea they couldn't serve Elohim. Now that they knew that, he had to require more of them. He had to give them more weight, I guess, to prove that they really love him or not. And every time Elohim deals with us, it's always in this or that, life or death, blessing or curse. We always have a choice. He always deals with us in one of two things. He always puts before us what he expects. But I like the part where Elohim breathed into him the breath of life. That kind of teaches us a kind of a clue here. Because Adam and Eve ate from this tree, and they received the death sentence from Elohim. But we know from scriptures the Ruach of a spirit convicts you to keep Torah. Yeshua gave us the helper of a spirit to help us keep Torah. So when Adam and Eve disobeyed Yah and ate from the tree, they lost the spirit. That was how they died. So the spirit is the source of life, as we can see. And the life is also in the blood, and I can go there with some scriptures too. Now, I did bring up... maybe not yet. The Paleo Hebrew, I wanted to share about the Paleo Hebrew, what it says, because the word in Hebrew actually is chai, but it's spelled with a fence. The ket, the first letter, is a fence. It means to divide or separate. So we can kind of see in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, where Elohim is giving us the choice, I put before you the life or death, the blessing or the curse, there's a fine line. There's a divider. Well, that's actually what the letter ket in Hebrew means. That letter ket is a fence. So in Yah's original language that the word was in, all this would have made much more sense to the reader. In English, we kind of have to work with what we have. And the second of the letters is a yod, which is a hand. And we know that Yeshua is what? The right hand of the Father. So I like going through these different words and what they mean.
Something to your the chet. So the chet, you're right, can be a divider. It can divide from one side or the other, but it can also be to enclose something, to protect and to guard. So you have this, you know, fence, because if I've got the fence, it's dividing what I want to stay outside of my yard to what I want in, but it's protecting what's in the yard. So it's acting and functioning as a dual thing here of separating, but also guarding and protecting.
Oh, thank you, Fat Mark. Now, I was going to add about, I was going to go a little further with this, how Abel, when he died, his blood cried out from the ground. But, I mean, Abel was killed, but his blood somehow is still alive because it can communicate with the Father. Well, that's because the life is in the blood, because oxygen is in the blood, because Yah breathed his spirit into us. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because science will back all these things up, even though they don't really want to, because they don't know what's at the other end of that trail, is them figuring out that the Yah is real and they have to obey him. But we're also commanded not to eat the blood. And I didn't fully get into that. I wanted to bring up more scriptures or explaining why Yah told us not to eat the blood. I didn't get as far with that. But I was going to bring up how when Yeshua was on the earth, he was the atoning sacrifice, the Passover lamb. But the first thing when Adam and Eve sinned was that Yah had to kill an animal and give them skin. You know, blood was shed. That very first act in the Garden of Eden was a picture of Yeshua all along. I mean, most of Christianity starts reading the book of Matthew, but Yeshua's in everything, you know, from Genesis to Revelation. I like going through Genesis and seeing all the times that it talks about Yeshua without, you know, explaining exactly. But we know as we go along. I was going to add a little bit more. How much time do we have left? Like a minute? Mark, is there anything more that you'd like to add? I think that I'm finished with the general point. There's just some things, but...
Oh, go ahead, Ron.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, you mentioned the blood and how Yeshua is the life is in the blood. And I was just thinking of when he spoke to even his disciples, he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you know, I'm just thinking about that, and it's and how people take it literally, but I believe it's take everything, be nurtured by everything that he is. So, yeah.
I was just thinking maybe that's why you're not supposed to take in the blood from an animal that's just died, because in essence you're taking in the life of that source instead of the Father's source, which is what happened in the garden, I'm thinking, at the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
To add to what she said, so when Polly and I have been studying the blood covenant, one of the things that they understood in the ancient days was if they slayed a very valiant mighty warrior, they killed somebody who was a very big foe who had slain thousands of people, they would want to drink the blood of that person, because by doing that they thought they were taking the character and the mightiness of their victory and power into them. And this is why it's so important when Yeshua is saying you must drink this, because we're taking his character into us. We're taking his nature, we're taking who he is into us, and we're mixing that nature of Yeshua in us at that Passover. That's why we're realizing the Passover is such a very important feast day, that it's a very personal thing. And if people don't understand what they're bringing into their self, they need to get it, because it's a big deal. This is a covenant meal. So it talked about how whenever in the ancient days, whenever you had a meal with the God, this is it's called a fellowship meal. And it's very, very special in bringing in communion and relationship and enhancing that relationship between the two people. So it's something that's been lost, but now God's restoring our understanding to how significant this is by drinking that wine that's representing his nature into us. Because obviously we understand that those that are wanting to do that, you've got to understand the life, the Torah, the stuff that you're bringing into your life. So, yeah.
And Eve, did you have a comment? Go ahead.
Yes, another thing that Yeshua was referring to, because there's many layers to what he's referring to, was something I presented in my Dolman seminar, was that the entire ancient Near East had this belief that for their ancestors to continue to exist after they died, you had to call out their name. And they would go to these dolmens and call their name, and then they would sometimes sacrifice an animal and have the blood and the meat, which they would feed to their ancestors to keep them alive. And other times they would have bread and wine to do and do the same ceremony. But they had to do this every month, month after month after month, year after year, decade after decade, century after century. They were trapped in a kind of slavery that had no end to it. And Yeshua was flipping that whole system on its head, saying, take of me this one time, my death, my sacrifice, and you will live forever. So it was a total flip of what they were doing. And while what they were doing was false, what he did was real.
A comment there, Lisa? Okay.
So to add what Ward was saying, and then also, can you hear me? What Mark was saying, there's a incorrupt way to do things, and then there's a corrupt way to do things. And I think that's why Yahuwah made it clear that the blood of the animal was to be poured out, but yet we take the correct, so that's a correct way to do it, and then to take in his attributes, we actually have to take in his word, which is the scripture. That is the correct way to do it. And the incorrect and corrupt way is to literally take in blood, which we're not supposed to do.
I was just going back to Proverbs, where you were at earlier. It says, Proverbs 3:8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, when it was talking about the law. And I thought that was really interesting. So just looking up marrow, you know, the importance of it. It is the blood cell factory. Healthy bone marrow releases blood cells into the bloodstream when they are mature and when they're required. Without bone marrow, our bodies could not produce white cells that we need to fight infection, and the red blood cells we need to carry oxygen, and platelets we need to stop bleeding. So, the physical and the spiritual.
That was good. I didn't even think about what Alex was talking about, you know, life in the blood. I knew it, but it just didn't occur to me. So we didn't talk about this, but I like how when we do this, everybody has a different view and take on things, you know, and it just kind of welds together. So we have a few more minutes. Does anybody else have any other comments? I was just going to say one more thing. I was looking at the words, like, for in Hebrew, for life is high. In the Greek, it's zoe. Ruach, which means like wind or breath or the spirit. In the Greek, it's pneuma. And that's where we get our words like pneumatic, pneumonia. You know, it talks about, you know, things that go on. Wind-wise, nefesh, in the Greek, that word is psyche, which I find interesting because it kind of talks about your inner being, and I always thought of the nefesh as kind of like the inner being of a person, even though we're called living creatures, and creatures is also translated as nefesh, so I just find that interesting, so. If anybody doesn't have anything else, did you have a comment?
Oh, you can use Mark. A little comment on when you talked about heaven and earth is.
It's not going to work.
Thought I had when you were talking about heaven and earth stands as a witness against you. And when we were looking at the blood covenant, we looked at that covenant made with the Most High in Abraham at the time. And the covenant was, I'm going to abide in you, you're going to abide in me. And those two witnesses that stood as witness to that covenant was heaven and earth. So that's why they stand as a witness today of that covenant made.
Anybody else? I'll close this in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this discussion, and we're thankful, Father, for your word, to be able to look in your word, to study and to read. And we're thankful for all the blessings that you give to us, Father. I pray that we continue to learn, follow your commandments, Father, that we continue and hold fast to your word, Father. And we're so thankful for because of that, the blessings that you give to us, Father. Thank you, pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.